Hello and welcome to the Responsible Management Podcast from the University of Bradford School of Management. My name is David Zweischer. I'm the school's Director of Business and Community Engagement and delighted once again to be hosting the podcast today. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about going out alone. So what are the challenges for the solo entrepreneur or somebody looking to set up in business on their own? And I'm joined by two great contributors to talk about this. The first is Dr. Nuno Aratea. He's Assistant Professor in Entrepreneurship and Innovation here at the School of Management. He's a returning contributor, an entrepreneur in his own right, and has extensive industry experience in operations and business development, and a serial investor as well. His work has been published in leading journals in the areas entrepreneurship and entrepreneurship education. Our second contributor is Chloe Weatherhead. Chloe is the founder of Andiamo Business Assistant, a UK-based service launched in July 2024 to support self-employed individuals, small business owners and startups. Through a virtual assistant and online business management services, Chloe helps business owners reclaim their time, reduce overwhelm and refocus on what truly matters, whether that's growing their business or simply enjoying life beyond the to-do list. She has extensive industry experience in operational management and customer experience within the software industry. And in addition to running Andiamo and a host of other interests, Chloe is also the host of her own podcast, Strings to Your Bow, a fortnightly podcast where she speaks to inspiring entrepreneurs about how their life experiences have shaped their businesses. Welcome both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll start with our first question. With given the title of the podcast being responsible management, what does responsible management mean for you, Chloe?
Well, that's a big question. I think for me, responsible management is about recognising your own personal values and wherever possible, remaining true to those values. And those values can be different at different times and for different people, and typically are based on our own life experiences and where we've thrived and where we've failed and where we've watched others do the same thing. I think when you're in business, when you're working, you can quite easily be influenced by other people's behaviour. And actually, one of the things you learn over time is that if you hold your values true to yourself, you will always feel like you've done a good job regardless of the situation that's happening around you.
Brilliant. You'd recognise that, I'm sure, now.
Yes, yes, I totally agree with that. I have a bit of more shorter response, though. I think responsible management to me is about managing people and business in a balanced way. So you don't put business ahead of people. You don't put people ahead of business. You have to make what's the best for both in the particular moment in time, in the particular, looking at the particular challenges you have and the particular opportunities you have. So make it a bit simpler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably something we'll circle back to when we talk about the business in a bit more depth and the kind of support you offer, perhaps. But before we get to that, this notion of kind of the challenges of setting out alone, you know, lots of people talk about, even romanticise the idea of becoming an entrepreneur, but not everybody takes the plunge. Is there something about the mindset of people that will take this step?
I think a lot of people see entrepreneurship based on that Instagram ideal of the sort of the white sand and the bare feet and the laptop in front of a palm tree with a cocktail and things like that. And like many things, if you base your life on Instagram, you're going to be disappointed on a fairly regular basis. For me, I think entrepreneurship requires a level of experience and a level of resilience and a willingness to take risks. And you're either born with that innate willingness to take risks, or you learn over time how much risk you're willing to take and what the consequences of those decisions are. And so I think potentially you've got people fall into two camps. Either they're always going to be an entrepreneur and you can almost see it in childhood, or over time people get to a point where they think, well, if I'm working this hard for someone else, I might as well work this hard for me and reap all of the benefits and be able to take all the decisions and all the responsibility and all of the reward.
I think Chloe noted the key word is resilience, I would say. And resilience comes from lots of things. It's not something that you are born with. Well, some of us are born more resilient than others, but it's something that you definitely learn with life. And you learn with your errors, mistakes, with things that go well, things that go wrong. And being an entrepreneur is all about building that mindset of resilient. You cannot be a success. It's not about having a great business idea if you cannot implement it. You can have lots of great ideas or great solutions for problems, but if you are not resilient to cope with the day-to-day challenges, that those ideas will just be, you know, a PowerPoint or a business plan, which will never materialize.
Yeah, and it's that. I'm trying to avoid the word resilience again, mm-hmm. but it's the confidence to take that first step, isn't it? Yep. It's the plunge into the unknown. So I seem to be talking in slightly trite kind of statements today, but a lot of people, again, the biggest challenge or the biggest barrier is not knowing what tomorrow is going to look like. If you've got a corporate job, you know what tomorrow is going to look like. If you're going to step away from that and set up on your own, that puts a massive degree of uncertainty into your life.
Yeah, but I think actually there's a bit of gaslighting that goes with that understanding, in that if you're in a corporate environment, you assume you know what's going to happen. You assume what's going to happen the next day and the day after that and the day after that based on your experience. You don't actually know what's happening behind the scenes. 9 times out of 10, you don't know the decisions that are happening in the boardroom or in the wider environment or in politics or anything else. And all of those have an influence on your day-to-day. So there is a counter-argument that being self-employed or being an entrepreneur, if you, going back to resilience, if you are resilient enough to be able to take it on a chin and pick yourself back up, at least you understand what you don't know, and at least the way forward is slightly clearer because you are able to take that control. I do think whilst having a paycheck coming in on a weekly basis or a monthly basis is lovely and it's reassuring, it isn't a certainty, and moving away from that mindset is quite a good thing to do, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think I don't want to divert from the theme of solo entrepreneur, but you can be a solo entrepreneur in a corporate environment as well. And I've been in corporate environments for quite a long time. And I was a solo entrepreneur in the sense that I tried to change things. Yeah. And sometimes things just happened against me, even though I had a great idea, a great project, but there was just no buyout for no buy-in for that idea from the board. So you can feel isolated as an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. regardless if you are a solo entrepreneur in the traditional sense, right, self-employed, or if you want to make the change in a corporate environment. Isolation will be there because it's not guaranteed that you have a great solution for a problem that everyone will accept it.
Yeah.
And particularly in the corporate environment, it's maybe in most of the time they will not accept it. And if you are a sole entrepreneur, you still have to have the customers accepting that solution, which means in most of the time they will not accept it either. So it's a challenge, but it's a challenge that is caused by different circumstances.
Yeah, and I think there's something incredibly freeing by recognizing what you are able to control and what you're not able to control. And I think as humans, that is a skill that you learn over time, but when you recognize that, when you are able to recognize what is in within your sphere of control, everything else just becomes background noise. You worry about these things less, and you trust yourself more, and you're able to keep putting one foot in front of another. And actually, probably that's what makes people a good entrepreneur.
We're starting to talk about some of the challenges that you might face, you know, whether that's as a classical solo entrepreneur or somebody who's trying to be entrepreneurial in a corporate environment. I think you're right. You know, there's interesting kind of parallels there. Any others that you would say, oh, well, this is something that somebody who's thinking about stepping out on their own really needs to consider or kind of think about?
I think there is an underlying message that people buy from people. And actually, if you are going to be successful in business, the skills that you actually need to develop are people skills. And actually, if you've got people skills, they'll put you in good standing in whatever you want to do in life. But actually, if you're self-employed, being able to communicate effectively, being reliable, being approachable, building positive relationships, that that builds you as a person, and it attracts other people to you. And if people are attracted to you, they want to work with you, and therefore they will buy your products. And that works in a corporate environment as well. Picking up on your comment about loneliness, self-employment, entrepreneurship is incredibly lonely at times. So you do have to build a tribe around you. And with experience, you recognize who's in your inner circle and who you need to keep at arm's length in a friendly manner, but you need to keep them at arm's length. I think that's important as well. And you need to find people that have got your back and that you can bounce ideas off and you can have a trusted relationship with. Doesn't mean that they're always going to like your ideas or agree with you, but you can have honest conversations. And especially when you're self-employed, if you're working on your own on a regular basis, that's really important, because people are pack animals, and it's part of our nature to build that community.
Yeah, well, you said the word that popped into my head around solo doesn't necessarily mean alone. It means you need to think about, where do you get your network and your community and your interaction from? Because we are social beasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think solo entrepreneur doesn't mean isolated entrepreneur, and you need to build that sort of community around you. I used to work as a self-employed consultant, management consultant, a long time ago, and it was extremely isolated kind of work, because as a management consultant, you deliver solutions to the customer, you don't have a team to discuss things. So my trick was always to create that team with the customer.
Yeah.
So the customer was my team, to be honest. Obviously, I had to rely on other people for some advice, but on a day-to-day basis, the customer was my team. And moving into academia, the students sometimes are my team.
Yeah.
Because we always work in some sort of sole entrepreneur way in academia as well. We are not always people around us. We have to do research, we have to prepare things, we have to teach, and we not always have people around us as much as we would like to. So students can be a great way to expand your
yeah. sort
of, get out of that isolation. And as a researcher, you're also very isolated. And again, you need to rely on a team. You need to rely on the people that work with you in research. Just to give you a bit of what I've been doing recently, because I also work from home quite a lot, and that sense of isolation sometimes is there, even though you are at home, you're still isolated. And sometimes I discovered that actually, and I'm bringing this topic into the conversation, not sure if you're going to enjoy it or not, but on AI, I use AI sometimes.
Yeah.
Just so we're 13 minutes in, forever had that for when AI got mentioned. It's my new favorite game with the podcast. How long before AI gets mentioned?
I tried AI as a way to, let's just exchange some ideas. And it works pretty well in that sense that you are too isolated, you are lonely, you are thinking, am I thinking the right direction? Am I thinking what I should be thinking about, what related to what I'm doing, right? And you don't have time to call a friend, or you don't want to bother someone, because it's just 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. in the day. You just go to the chatbot and just challenge the chatbot to challenge you.
Yeah.
And it can break that isolation cycle. I will not say it will not break it permanently, but at least it can help you to give you a boost during the day, in a way that you get some sort of a critical friend, which is virtual friend, but still can give you some sort of critical ideas about what you're thinking. And that helps. If you top it up with a cup of coffee, I think
I
get some momentum for another 2 or 3 hours of work.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want robots to replace your friends.
No.
But I think
that's not the point.
No, it's definitely not. It's not replacing friends. It's about using the tools that are available to you at that time, and doing so intentionally. And I think that's the other thing. If you're in a corporate environment, if you're in an office environment, you are surrounded by people. So you might be having a quiet day, but you're earwigging conversations, or you're chatting to someone while you make a brew, or someone comes and asks for your opinion. If you're on your own, if you're working from home, or if you're working in isolation, actually you need to intentionally build that environment however you want to do that. And I think the other thing you have to be careful of is to make sure you have those critical friends, and to make sure that the voices that you're hearing are as diverse as possible, because people very quickly try to put you in a box based on what they perceive you are, or what you say you are. And actually, the more diverse the opinions are around you, the better you become, and the better your ideas become as a result.
Absolutely kind of makes sense to me. I think there's something really powerful in recognizing the need for diversity and not just, you know, getting the same sounding board kind of back from you, which I guess is a risk with AI, isn't it? Let's be honest, it's an algorithm and it's only as good as the question you put into it. But actually using that in the right kind of way to stimulate thinking is, I think, something we're all doing now. I find it quite amusing when I say to my students, I assume you're going to use AI. And they all look at me because they think that they've been told that AI is bad. And it's like, look, I'm not naive. Let's assume you're not naive. I use it day to day. Let's have a conversation about how to use it in the right way to support what we're doing, not in the wrong way to replace what we're doing, which I think is part of that conversation, isn't it, as well?
I'm just cutting into the podcast to tell you a little bit about the offer that we have for businesses locally as part of the business and community engagement support. We have our Knowledge Transfer Network, that's regular networking events where you can come on campus, meet like-minded people, hear from some of our and leading industry experts. We have our Bradford Business Challenge projects, where we have students coming out and working with you and supporting the work that you do. We have our consultancy clinic, where we have students delivering on short-term small projects for businesses as well. There's also lots of ways that you can engage with and interact with our students as guest lecturers, as mentors on some of our entrepreneurship programs, and through involvement in the curriculum. And equally, from a research perspective, we can work with you on collaborative research. If you think there's something we can help with, please reach out to us at BACE, that's base, BACE, at bradford.ac.uk. Thank you, and now back to the podcast.
The other thing I wanted to kind of come back to, again, I'm thinking about potential challenges and issues that you might face working kind of alone. And I don't know that it's necessarily a kind of a on your own problem, because I see this in lots of even bigger businesses as well. And it's that challenge between spending time on the business and in the business. Yeah, so you're worried about the next bill, you're worried about the next invoice, you're worried about delivering a contract. And the consequence of that is you don't always spend time thinking about the development, the growth, the kind of the future of the business. You've been involved in Help to Grow, and you know that it's a perennial theme with the businesses that come and join us on that kind of program. I wondered if is that even worse if you're on your own, or is that just a perennial problem that anybody in an SME or a small business or as an entrepreneur needs to manage?
I'm not sure if it's worse when you're on your own. I think a lot of it, as with most things, is about balance, really. My role as a virtual assistant means that I tick things off lists. I either tick things off lists for myself or I tick things off lists for other people. I love a list. That's like my natural place to be. So I could quite easily sit at a desk all day just going through various lists and getting things done. I recognise that in myself. I recognise that behaviour in myself. So part of the joy for me of being self-employed is I have control over my working day. So if it's a nice day, I can take the dog for a walk without someone asking where I am. I can go for a run. I can go for a swim. And doing things like that when I'm running or swimming, because I don't have a list in front of me, my thoughts can run naturally, and I find that's the best time to work on the business, to think about the business and the progression of the business and what's blocking progression and how I get through that. There's no words coming out of my mouth while I'm doing that. I'm not sat there with a pad and a pen. I'm just letting my brain naturally go through its own processes. And I think that comes with balance, and some people get that through exercise, some people get that through driving or listening to music, or they might intentionally read books or listen to podcasts or however they want to do that. But I think it's really important to work on the business as well as in the business. I don't think you should beat yourself up over how that works for you, what that looks like for you, because if it works for one person, that doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
Yeah, I think part of that, from what you're suggesting for me as well, is about having that reflexive mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm somebody that spends a lot of my time working in leadership development with students and executives. And one of the key skills we talk about time and time again is having that reflective mindset. And if it, yeah, for some people that comes naturally, and it's in the shower, it's on the walk, it's on the commute. For other people, you have to be more structured and systematic about it. But in terms of developing yourself and the business, if you're not reflective, you're not saying, well, what happened, why, what have we learned, then you're not going to be developing.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's the reconciliation between strategy and operations, isn't it? It's a problem you have in corporate, you have as an entrepreneur, you have as a small company, you have as a startup. And the thing we don't have as solo entrepreneurs, and I can speak as entrepreneur myself, is, or the thing that we need to build is the discipline which the corporate environment provides us with. So in the corporate environment, we don't have to have a lot of discipline because we know that they're already set up some sort of procedures, processes. And even if we don't have that discipline, they will force you to have that discipline, which makes it easy for everyone involved. As an entrepreneur, you need to have that capacity to create your own discipline. Can be, you can go and walk the dog, can go for a swim. That's discipline in the sense I take this time for myself to think about other things. I don't think about the day-to-day operations of the business. But interestingly, when you are walking the dog or not swimming, it's when probably most of the interesting business ideas come to place or most business development opportunities come into your brain.
Yeah.
Whereas when you are focused on doing the day-to-day tasks, you're not thinking about the strategy or thinking about getting it done. But again, that's discipline. And what I find I had to build that discipline in myself, and I see many entrepreneurs that are not capable of building that discipline in their day-to-day routines. And I would think that that's something that it's not resilience, it's discipline. It's, if I have to do this 10 minutes a day, 1 hour a day, I have to do it every day regularly, and keep that sort of forcing yourself into doing that. Things you like to do, things you don't like to do, but it's all part of the entrepreneurial activity, isn't it?
Yeah, and having that discipline is a good first step in avoiding burnout as well.
Yeah.
Because actually you do see in a lot of entrepreneurs, they are so single-minded, so focused on one particular thing that they could quite easily sit at their desk for 20 hours a day without realizing what they're doing. Or they're constantly on the phone, they can't put the phone down, or whatever that looks like. You recognize it really quickly.
Yeah.
And that comes down to discipline as well. It's great that they are so focused. It's great that they are so determined to make the business a success, but at what cost? So it is about that balance.
Something in that for me about developing, I can't think of a better way of putting it, good routines, good behaviours about how you work. That again, a risk as an entrepreneur is you haven't got those. And if you don't instill those, you can fall into the trap of working 20 hours a day without even realizing it. I'm struck by it's an old example, but a friend of mine during COVID, and he maintained a commute to work during COVID. And what he did was he would go for his walk in twice a day. Yeah, so he would go out the house, walk around the block, and then he'd come back into the house, and that was the start of the working day. He'd then have a working day, and then he'd consciously leave the house, go for a walk, and come back in. And that was him putting discipline into his day and saying, no, I've got that clear, despite the fact I'm working at the kitchen table, which we all did during COVID, I've got that clear demarcation between my working day and the rest of the day. It's all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and routine is really important. But I do think quite a lot of people I speak to, they go, oh, well, I've watched such and such and they do that, so I'm going to do that. I've watched and they do that and that seems to work for them. I think you've got to find your own routine. You've got to find your own discipline. You've got to find what works for you. There is nothing wrong with being an individual. You don't have to do what everyone else does.
And there's something really important about allowing other people to do that as well, isn't
there?
I am going to have a slight rant. It's the always on culture that we're in these days, isn't it? And somebody will send you an email. It's happened to me this morning. And then 5 minutes later, they've sent me a text saying, I've sent you an email. Can you respond to my email? It's like, I'll get to it, but I am actually doing something else. But it's that kind of expectation. I think some of our academic colleagues are good examples of this. You quite often get on a footer from a colleague. I work peculiar hours. I'm paraphrasing. Don't be obliged to work the same hours as me. But we need more understanding of that, I think, is my point.
Yeah, And I also think you need to recognise that the world does not revolve around you. And actually, if you're working from home, if you are self-employed, if you've not got those people around you, you can quite quickly think that everything should revolve around you without recognising that's what you're doing. So taking a step back is important as well.
And I don't know if this is a fair question or not, but the advantage of being host is you get to ask it regardless. I'm
struck with, do we think we're actually wired to work alone, or is this something that we have to kind of accept or kind of force? Does it come comfortably to people?
Working alone, you mean?
Yeah.
I think you have to look at the origins of mankind. We were sole entrepreneurs 50,000 years ago. I mean, the only activities we would have as a collectivity were when we were hunter-gatherers. We would go out to hunt as a team because that would maximize the survival opportunity. But all other trades, activities, were sole activities. So by nature, I would say, and our history tells us, we just gather collectively to maximize the chances of survival.
Utility, yeah.
Yeah, that was the only reason why we started building cities, and villages, and forts, because before that, we didn't need everyone else. We were able to create and survive, you know, a small network of 3-4 people as a family. Not sure if this contradicts the theory, the contemporary theory, but
trying to be provocative here. But that's why I asked the question, because that's what I was thinking about. There is a prevailing perspective on humanity as being a social animal,
and which we are not,
and suggesting that, much, yeah. that actually we exist to interact with each other.
I think there's two things with that. One is, especially in the UK, or potentially in the Western world, culturally there's an ongoing perception that a successful life is where you go to school, go to college, go to university, get a job, climb the career ladder until you're on six figures, whatever else, retire, and then travel the world, invest, whatever. Again, if you look back, having that one job, that's not what it was. People had multiple jobs. If you go to island life, people have multiple jobs, and they sort of merge their life around what they need to do at that point. So being a solopreneur, entrepreneur, that's actually, a lot of the world does that. It's just that in the UK, in the Western world, it's not our typical path. And I think actually when people say, oh, it's unusual, oh, aren't you brave to set up on your own? Oh, isn't it exciting and stuff? Actually, it is exciting, but it plays into that variety is the spice of life, and being able to apply different skills in different situations and meeting lots of different people, that is what solopreneur life is. I think when going back to our people, social animals, are they supposed to be sort of on their own? Being nice to people constantly is really hard work. Like being an office environment is hard work. It's draining. And I do think when COVID hit and we all started working from home, people started to realise what hard work it was being in that social environment for 8, 10, 12 hours a day, because we mask constantly. It's exhausting. So again, balance, I think, is really important. And actually, it's not necessarily how we as people are supposed to be like this. It's what works for you as an individual. Where are you at your best? What time of day are you at the best? What situation at your best? Play on your strengths. And recognise your weaknesses and where you're not as comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting to get quite so philosophical on the conversation today, but it's really good. Where the conversation has gone, I had a different question about, you know, how does a solo entrepreneur cope with wearing all the hats and dealing with all the different aspects of a business? But actually, I think what we're suggesting is that's a strength to lean into as a solo entrepreneur, because that variety is going to be a positive and suit the individual, rather than it being a problem that you're going to have to do everything all at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at my working week now, like I'm here today, yesterday I was at a networking event. This afternoon I'm in a board meeting for some project management work I'm doing. I've been doing social media. I've been updating a website. Yesterday I was talking to a colleague about a face-to-face workshop that we're running. That there's quite a lot of variety in that week. Even when I was in a corporate environment, even when I was at a level where I had teams and was on leadership teams and things like that, I didn't get that variety in my week. The huge 90% of my week, I was sat in meetings, just listening to other people talk. And you can feel the energy draining out of you. It's like a puddle on the floor around you. So actually being able to make your own choices and your own decisions, I think, is a massive benefit of being self-employed or being in that sort of entrepreneurial environment.
Yeah, I recognise that. Amanda Iannucci in the film In the Loop used the term meet in the room. Yeah, you're literally, you're not supposed to say anything. You were just supposed to be there to sit and listen. That's not a good use of anybody's time. And if that's going to be the majority of your working life, I'd be running away from that as quickly as I could, certainly at this point in my career.
Yeah,
I totally agree. I think, what was the question again?
I don't know, there was a question. I think it was more an observation that I think we're talking about that we started off from the premise of the challenges of going alone. And I think we're saying there's so much value in the perspective of treating yourself as a solo entrepreneur and recognizing that the diversity and the creativity that can come from that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The value of controlling your time is invaluable. I wouldn't go back to a traditional corporate career at this stage in my career. Even if I had the chance to make a lot of money, I probably would think, is that worth my freedom? My freedom in the sense, not that I don't want to work, it's the freedom in the sense that how you want to organize your life.
How you work.
And there is no six figure that can pay for that, to be honest with you. I'd rather have a five figure and have much more control of my life rather than have a six figure and have no control of my life at all. So again, this relates to where you are at in your life. So if probably I was talking to me 20 years ago, I would go for the six-figure no-brainer. Now, I would say I'm not going for the six-figure anymore. It depends on what stage you are at as an entrepreneur. But definitely, there is always a trade-off between risk and reward. And I think that the risk of solo entrepreneurship career or entrepreneur career is worth it as long as the reward is not just a financial reward. You have to look at it beyond the financial reward. It's a lifestyle reward. It's a financial reward. It's a family reward. It's a personal reward. And if you factor all that, sometimes it adds more than six figure in the end, I would say.
Yeah, I think that segues quite nicely into the next question I wanted to ask, which was if you were talking to somebody today who was thinking about taking that plunge, setting up their own business, becoming the entrepreneur, what would you tell them? What would you say to them?
As an advice? You have to be resilient. You have to have your discipline. That's something that you have to build in. If you don't have it, you have to build it from the first day. But I think that what I would say is, where do you want to get from here? What do you want to achieve? Do you want to achieve, a 9-to-5 job? Do you want to achieve, do you want to grow a business? Do you want to continue as a sole entrepreneur for the rest of your days? I think it's very important that because people start this Many people start this entrepreneurial activity because they see themselves as the next Mark Zuckerberg in 20 years down the line. And he's no longer an entrepreneur, right? Yeah. He stopped being an entrepreneur 6 months after he started the business, right? Yeah. He's a corporate guy. I think it's really important to make these people, regardless of their age, they want to go for an entrepreneurial career, is what do you want to get from here? Do you want to get, do you want to remain like that, which is absolutely fine? Do you want to grow this as a business? Do you want to recruit more people? Do you want to sell the business in 5 years? That's why you're going to put all the energy into growing it. Or do you want to, are you happy to just continue to be, a sole individual working for yourself until you retire? Any of this is an opportunity or a possibility, but people have to be mindful of what they want to achieve, which is not very common. People want to start something, but when you start asking things about what you want to get from here 1 year down the line, 2 years down the line, they start getting, I really never thought about that. Yeah, you should think about that now, because whatever you're going to do right is going to work well for you in the future. Whatever you do wrong is going to be against you. So it's very good that you have very precise ideas of what you want to achieve. And that again will help you to steer your your activity moving forward, whatever is the direction you want to take it.
I agree. I think I'm a massive advocate of becoming self-employed. I think we should stop asking kids what they want to be when they grow up and start asking them what they enjoy. Because when you talk to one of my nieces, at the moment she wants to be a pet detective, she wants to own a sweet shop, she wants to be a footballer, she wants to be an archaeologist. And I said, oh, so you're going to do one after the other? No, in a working week. So I'm going to play football on the weekend, I'm going to do this on. And she's got it all mapped out. And actually, we should be encouraging that mindset. We should be encouraging people to recognise what the skills are and what the passions are and what they enjoy. And then how do you build a career around that skill set and those passions? Because if you do that, you're going to thrive whatever the situation is. I think you have to be realistic. It's hard work. If you think you're doing it because you want to be a multimillionaire by the time you're 22, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be really disappointed and really, really poor. So you need to be realistic in that. But actually, let's start encouraging the development of passions rather than choices of career.
That's brilliant.
Interesting.
Brilliant. Yeah. Thank you both very much. One final question. We've asked all of the contributors over the series this. Who's your management hero? That can be personal or professional, somebody who's inspired or influenced you the most in your career.
I have two heroes. One is my management hero is Peter Drucker, right? Peter Drucker was the father of management as a science, who advocated that the only skill you'll need in the 21st century, by the way, we are in the 21st century already, is the skill to learn new skills. And that applies precisely to entrepreneurial ventures. You have to be open mindset to learn constantly. And that's the only skill you need as an entrepreneur. Part of course, like what you do,
yeah,
enjoying what you do mostly.
Yeah, I think I don't have one hero, if you like. I think over time you learn as much from good managers as you do from bad managers. You reflect on how they made you feel, and you make a promise to yourself never to pass that on if it was a bad feeling. I think for me there are so many strong individuals in the world, but people like Mary Portas, Michelle Obama, Oprah Winfrey, there are loads of people that actually they aren't necessarily in business as such, but they have a mindset that I think we can learn a lot from, and that makes them people to watch.
Brilliant. Thank you both very, very much. If people want to contact you, reach out and find you, how can they do that, Chloe?
They can go to the website. So it's andyamoassist.co.uk. I am all over socials. I'm a pain in the neck. Or they can email me, chloe@andyamoassist.co.uk.
Brilliant. Thank you. Nuno?
Just Google my name, Nuno, at Bradford University. I'm the only Nuno around, so it's not going to be difficult to spot me.
Yeah, I was going to say Nuno and I are fairly easy to find on the university web pages if you want to follow us there. If you want to reach out to me, you can find me there. Find me fairly easily on LinkedIn as well. You can contact us by email, or we have a generic email for business and community engagement at the school, which is BACE, Business and Community Engagement, BACE@bradford.ac.uk. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast today. If you have done, please like and subscribe. Please leave us a 5-star review, because that's apparently the only currency that really matters in this day and age, unfortunately. And once again, both, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you've got a project that you'd love to get done, but you're struggling with the time and resources to do that, that's something that we can help you with. Bradford Business Challenge projects are where we get our students to do, as part of their dissertation, a piece of applied management work for a business like yourself. Either one of our final year undergraduate or MSc students, with the support of an academic mentor, will be able to work on that project for you. There's no cost for you as a business. All we ask for you is to set up with us that project, give us a kind of outline brief that the student will go away and work into a full proposal for you, and then you'll be meeting and liaising with them and their academic advisor to get that project delivered. because we have multiple students doing these over the course of the year. There's usually a group of students looking for any project at one time. So if that's something that you're interested in and you'd like to know more about, please reach out to us at BACE, base@bradford.ac.uk.